Well, good morning, saints.
Good morning.
And good morning, sinners.
Good morning.
I invite you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians as we continue to make our way across that great book. We're at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning with verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning with verse 7. As we look for a few brief moments on the grace of giving, the grace of giving, I invite you, in the tradition of the early church, to stand for the reading of God's word. Hear now the words of Holy Scripture, written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Almighty God, just give us Jesus. In the strong name of Jesus we pray. Amen. When you give, do you believe that you can influence or shape eternity by what you give? When you give, do you believe that you can shape eternity? In 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, Paul addresses one situation. It is his desire as he traveled from church to church, ministering to those churches, beginning churches, that those churches would also give back to the church in Jerusalem, the church that was poor and in great need. The mother church, in other words, was in great need. So 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul addresses the Corinthian church about giving specifically to the church in Jerusalem, made up of so many poor people. These two chapters are Paul's longest discourse on Christian stewardship. So it is very important that we delve into these two chapters. And something strange happens in these chapters. One word appears 10 times, and it is the word grace. The word grace. Now, In the verses that we have read, I believe there are three things Paul may be saying, but that's not what I'm going to major on. But I want to say them very quickly. Number one, he admonishes the Corinthians to excel at the grace of giving. Because you have been given much by God, give out of that overflow so that our habits of giving depict what is happening internally through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul also says in the second place to finish what you start. Very curious how he approaches this. He brings up in verses 1 through 5 the illustration of the church at Macedonia. They were a poor church. They had been afflicted greatly. But Paul said, they began giving to the church at Jerusalem after you did, but they have completed their giving because they had relationship with God, and out of that it overflowed to generosity. So Paul says, by using the Macedonian church as an example, you need to finish what you start. And then lastly, Paul says this, foster mutual sacrificial partnering. Foster mutual sacrificial partnering. He says, we're not asking you to deplete all of your resources so that the Church of Jerusalem can flourish. We're asking you to meet their need now out of your abundance. And perhaps down the road, they, when you go through a hard time, can meet your need. Now, this offering, where was it born in Paul's heart? It was born in Paul's heart during the Jerusalem Council, in which the purpose of that council was this: how do we include the Gentile church within this new Jesus movement? For you see, Christianity grew out of the cradle of Judaism. And when people went out as missionaries into the world, they encountered different cultures. What do we do with those who are different, these Gentiles? But there, in that council, Paul was admonished to remember the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. And there is where the vision was born. So, why is Paul so concerned, even consumed by this offering to the poor among the saints in Jerusalem? I want to take you sequentially through that in just a few brief moments because I think it is so profound and so important to us. Number one, why was this offering so important? Well, the Gentiles shared in the spiritual legacy of the Jewish Christians. He stated that the Gentiles should express their debt to the Jerusalem Christians by giving. You have a debt to them. They prepared the way. Number two, why should they give? This collection, he said, could also serve as a vivid symbol of the unity between Jewish and Gentile churches. A vivid symbol of the unity. Now, in a world like ours that is splintering apart, perhaps our souls should perk up and our eyes open when we see that someone is talking about crossing boundaries, cultural boundaries, to bring about unity within the church. Now, there was indeed division in the early church. There were those who advocated that every believer should be circumcised. That belief emanated out of Judea. Then there were those who said, no, we don't need to be circumcised. That's a thing of the past. There is a new gospel. There is a new covenant. Now, that belief was focused, as you might imagine, in the Gentile communities. So, Paul said this, I, through the power of the Spirit, must discern ways to unify these divergences. So where would Paul turn? Groups that believed strongly and had biblical precedents, and yet a new wave of the Spirit, the gospel mushrooming into new hinterlands and raising questions unheard of before. When you read Romans and you read Corinthians, there is this concept that Paul works with over and over again. Paul believed that God was about the work of a new creation. Did you hear that? One that transcended the old, existing boundaries between those who practiced circumcision and those who did not. Paul believed that Jews and Gentiles alike were sinners. They both were in need of reconciliation to God by faith. And Paul believed, as he stated in 2 Corinthians 5, that God was about the work of reconciling the world unto himself so that a new creation was coming into being. Old things were passing away and new things were coming into being. So for Paul, this simple offering and the giving to that offering by the Gentile churches was a major mark in restoring unity between Jewish and Gentile believers. In other words, it was an enactment by faith that the new creation was on the horizon. But it doesn't stop there. Paul may even have placed his collection strategy against the backdrop of biblical prophecy. For Isaiah and Micah said that one day, in apocalyptic fashion, Gentiles would stream into Jerusalem and a new eschaton, a new age would emerge. And Paul said, perhaps through this concrete method of giving, could this be the inauguration of a new age, the beginning of a new day? Could this be the coming day of the Lord? So Paul, when he would reach into his pockets to give and place money in that offering plate, he did so against the backdrop of eternity. So as I conclude, are you and I giving in light of shaping eternity? When our money hits the offering plate, or we go online and click on the computer and say, give, is our prayer that God would use that to bring reconciliation between husband and wife, mother and father, children and parents, a world rife where immigrants are suffering and political heads are talking, politically Democrat, Republican, and we're in great straits? Could we think that by our obedience of giving, a new creation is emerging? Walls breaking down, stereotypes going by the wayside, animosities ceasing, distrust giving way to trust, cynicism giving way to love. Yes, by our giving of our resources, by the giving of our monies, by the giving of our lives, hastening
a new creation, unlike, unknown by the world, but possible through the power of the Holy Spirit, as evidenced through even a simple act of giving. Almighty God, precious Lord and tender Spirit, sometimes we don't believe there's any hope, and then we catch a vestige of hope in your word, and we see lives changed by simple acts of kindness rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Spirit of God Almighty. Oh God, let us be part of that new creation, reconciling the world to God Himself. Hasten that day. Lift us up. Open our hearts. Bring on that new day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The hymn of invitation is hymn 644. I will be down front to receive any who come by way of profession of faith, by way of rededication. So many made decisions during Vacation Bible School. You may be one of those. Make that decision public today. You may be a parent who says, you know, I want to take the next step of faith. You know what that next step is in your life. Take it today in a public context. Let's stand now and sing as God leads you and me to respond.
You may sign up to be a prayer partner for basketball camp. You can pray where you are or come to the facility to pray. We just need this covered in prayer. We need many people praying each hour. In addition, we learned that the blood bank in this area is extremely low. Tanya Wilson, our own Tanya Wilson, has made this possible, even giving of her resources to make this possible. So please sign up. And with your blessings, my little family and I will be leaving for a vacation this week. Joshua will be in Germany come August 27th through December 17th. And so this is a week we want to treasure with him. And in my absence next Sunday, Andy Hunter will be preaching. Andy teaches growth group every Sunday.
In addition, this last year, he taught the Old Testament for fall and spring. He taught two major preparations in addition to being a phenomenal teacher at Easley High School. We will be blessed next week. Let's pray together. Almighty God, precious Lord and tender Spirit, thank you for this call to a sacrificial lifestyle of giving that can change a life, a family, a church, a nation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.